My brand new book, Midwife Pip's Guide to a Positive Birth, is now available. So much more than a book, this is a guide that allows me to hold your hand through your birth preparation journey. With over a decade of experience and knowledge packed in to ensure you really are empowered in the way you deserve to achieve a positive birth, regardless of the twists and turns that crop up. Make sure that you get your hands on Midwife Pip's Guide to a Positive Birth book now and are empowered to have the birth experience that you deserve. Hello, I'm Pip and welcome to the Midwife Pip podcast, the home of expert information on all things pregnancy, birth and beyond. Now, this week, I am going to be joining you solo to talk about a topic that comes up so often, and that is natural ways to encourage labour. Now, I think it's fair to say that in society, we do put a lot of pressure and emphasis on our estimated due date. So it's really important to emphasise, first of all, that it's an estimate. We all are individual. Our bodies and babies have such individual and unique physiology that we are not all going to have an exact 40-week gestational period. So we really need to try to ditch the due date pressure, because the truth is there are so many factors and influences that may impact when you go into labour, when this happens, how your body responds to those changes in hormones. And actually having a real strict emphasis on that dedicated due date can cause so much pressure, stress, anxiety. And the difficulty is that these things, these stresses, this anxiety, this pressure just does all of the reverse of what we want our labour hormones to do. We want to be feeling calm. We want to be feeling relaxed. We want to be feeling patient and positive ahead of labour for our labour hormones to work, essentially. So when we've got this massive pressure and feel this intensity as we approach or even go past our due date, it's really unhelpful to what we're trying to achieve, which is labour at this stage, right? So it's important to think that a normal window for women to go into labour is between 37 and 42 weeks. Now, that's quite a big 5-week window in essence. And only 5%, 4 to 5%, we think, of babies are actually born on their estimated due date, which is why we have to ditch the pressure of having a baby on their due date. And actually, your baby is the boss. They are the boss when it comes to starting labour. And to be honest, if they're anything like my 2-year-old, they are the boss for everything else thereafter as well. But it's thought that labour is actually triggered by your baby releasing a small amount of a surfactant protein, which is a substance that they have in their lungs, which then signals to your body, hi, I'm ready to be born, let's do this. And that this substance, this protein that's released, then stimulates contractions, labour hormones, and everything that then follows. So that makes it difficult when we think about all of these myths and sometimes old wives' tales and things we've heard about inducing labour, when actually your baby has got the final say. But that being said, this would be a very short episode if I just said there is nothing you can do to encourage natural labour. It's all down to your baby. End of. There is a few natural preparation options that do have some evidence, albeit usually quite small studies, but that's nothing abnormal, to be honest, when it comes to pregnancy and birth evidence and research that does back up actually that some of these things may help prepare your body, may help prevent going very post your due date if that's a concern of yours, and may help to encourage labour in a more natural way. So let's go through them, because I am, at the time of recording this, in the stage of my pregnancy where I'm starting to explore some of these. First thing that you may have heard of is raspberry leaf tea. So what is the deal with raspberry leaf tea? Now, within raspberry leaf tea is these red raspberry leaves, which have compounds. And it's thought that the accumulation of these compounds in the tea or capsules, some people may opt to use the capsules instead. It's thought that these gradually build up in your body to strengthen the myometrium, which is the muscles of your uterus, to help strengthen that muscular structure with the hope of shortening the length of labor, reducing the chance of needing intervention within your labor and birth, and to try and reduce the need of things like induction of labor or having your waters broken. So there is some evidence around the use of raspberry leaf tea, and it's recommended, if you want to give it a go, that you can start sipping it, starting at about 2 cups a day, because we want to create this gradual buildup in your body from around 32 weeks of pregnancy. And you can gradually build up to three cups a day as you come towards term. It isn't for everybody. So if you're planning a cesarean birth, you've got twins or triplets, your baby's breech, you've got high blood pressure, you're taking metformin or antidepressants, it's best to avoid it, because either you aren't trying to have a vaginal birth, so strengthening the uterus isn't of the benefit to you, or it can impact some of those medications. So we want to be a bit cautious. My favourite one, because I love this fruit, is eating dates. Now, dates is really interesting. Again, small study, but there's evidence there. But eating 6 dates daily, which is quite a lot, I know, but I do like them, especially stuff with peanut butter. Anything actually with peanut butter on, I am a big fan of. As is my son, I had to take the jar of peanut butter away from him yesterday evening as he was just there with a jar of peanut butter and a spoon. I thought his mouth would just stick together and he would give it up, but no, he was having a great time. So 6 dates every day from 36 weeks of pregnancy may help to increase the ripening of your cervix. So that's some of the early changes that happen to your cervix in the early stages of labor. And it was found that women who ate dates were 74% more dilated than those who didn't at the onset of labor. And they were 21% more likely to go into spontaneous labor, and 77% more likely to have a shorter first stage of labor. So there are some benefits, right? And in terms of the dates, unless you're gestational diabetic and having to watch your blood sugars, there's kind of no harm, because they're going to help prevent constipation. They're full of antioxidants and nutrients. So it's kind of worth a go, right? If those are things that are important to you on your journey and you don't mind eating lots of dates. The idea is they have a bit of an oxytocin-like impact on your body. So your oxytocin is that hormone that generates contractions in labor. And the thought is that dates kind of produce some of that, so encourage some of those labor changes and preparation. Another one that I talk to the mums that I support about is colostrum harvesting. Now, this, put simply, is hand expressing bits of colostrum that you can collect and store. Now, you can do this from 36 weeks. And I always say, please don't worry if you don't get any colostrum. It's absolutely fine, really normal, really common. Often there are some technique adjustments that when I support women with, they do collect it because it is there. It's just being held back by some of your hormonal balance so that you're not just walking around leaking it all out throughout all of pregnancy. But the idea around colostrum harvesting in relation to labor is that the nipple stimulation can also release oxytocin. And as we know, oxytocin is the absolute powerhouse when it comes to labor and contractions. And then I'm going to go there. Some of you are going to like this one. Some of you, probably more, are going to not like this one. But we're going with sex. But good sex. The difference being, good sex can trigger an orgasm, which releases oxytocin. So again, Oxytocin promoting environments, so important. I talk about them all the time on the podcast and my courses. Really important. But also it's thought that semen actually contains natural prostaglandins. And for anyone that's done any research into induction of labor methods, often the first stages used use prostaglandins. And that's because prostaglandins help to soften and ripen your cervix, which is the first thing that has to happen in labor before it can open and move out the way, et cetera, et cetera. So it's kind of a double-edged one, that. So it has to be good sex for the oxytocin, but the semen and prostaglandins could be handy too. One note of caution, once your waters have broken, it's best to avoid sex intercourse because it can increase that risk of ascending infection once that barrier's gone. I could talk about this all day, you know, labour preparation, that due date pressure, encouraging labour and birth, but I'm going to leave you with just one last one. And that's clary sage essential oil. So if you have looked into aromatherapy practices, this one may have cropped up and you can use this from your due date. The idea around clary sage as an essential oil is that it can help to stimulate your uterus to contract. And there's different ways of using it. You can have a bath with it. So if you pop a few drops with either a carrier oil, or if like me, you're not that fancy, you can just put it into a spoonful of full fat milk, which will emulsify it. So it needs to be full fat. And you can pop that into a bath and have a clary sage bath. Or you can literally pop it onto something that you smell. So that could be a cloth or in a diffuser and do it that way. If you have had any complications or once your waters have broken, then avoid using clary sage in the bath. Once your waters are broken, you can still use it, but not in the bath format. So that was a few of my encouraging labor to start tips. I love this conversation. I love this topic because I think it's really important that we ditch that pressure. The more pressure, the more stress we're under. All that does is tell our bodies and our brains that we're not in a safe place to birth. And we trigger this fight or flight response, which is really handy, right? When you're a wild animal and you're fleeing a predator, we need this fight or flight response. So all our blood goes to our arms and legs so we can run away and get to safety. Amazing survival mechanism. We wouldn't be here if we didn't have it. Where this is really unhelpful to kick in is at the point of trying to go into labor. Because what it does is exactly that. There's no blood supply, you know, in mass going to your uterus to encourage contractions and all that muscle work. It's going everywhere else so that you can escape this perceived threat, whether it's real or perceived. Your mind can't quite differentiate that. So really thinking about, yes, we can actively prepare and support and influence and try these things. There's no guarantee anything's going to work. Our baby is probably still always going to be the boss. But we can definitely try to do these things to influence labor and birth if that's important to you. However, we have to take the pressure off. Feeling calm, feeling relaxed, focusing on where you do have control. And so often in birth, we think we have no control. And I completely challenge that because at the end of the day, it is your body and your baby. So you absolutely have 100% of the control when it comes to your labor and birth journey. Also, we often hear this connotation with labor and birth that there's almost no point preparing your mind, your body, understanding everything because there's so much that isn't influenced by you. And yes, there are variables. Of course, there are variables. We cannot write down one mode of birth and make a flowchart and guarantee we get there. But what I would say is where I see so many women come into challenges is where we don't put that preparation work in and we don't take it seriously and we do just leave everything to chance. Because the challenge then is if there is a twist or turn that crops up in labor, which we know happens so commonly, you have no information about it. And that makes it really hard for you in that moment, making that choice in the throes of labor, to make a truly informed and empowered decision. And this is what leads to birth trauma, birth regret, poor outcomes, psychological distress for mum and birth partner. So no, you can't control every aspect of labour, but my goodness, I promise you, you can become educated and informed so that regardless of what that birth might look like on paper, it's a positive and empowered experience. And unfortunately, in the world of unregulated birth education, this doesn't come from Google, social media, you know, a course that runs for a couple of evenings or a one-day course. It's bigger than that. It's so much bigger than that. And we spend so much time, I think, as women in today's society planning things, planning holidays, right? How much research do we put into planning and booking a holiday? I know that's something I spent hours doing. Planning kitchen designs, that's where I'm currently at. Planning for weddings, the amount of energy, time, finances that goes into that day. Because we recognize it's really important, right? We want to feel like our wedding day was full of love and long life, you know, memories that we can treasure forever. We get one shot at it, hopefully, if we've chosen the right person. Our birth's the same. So why are we okay with leaving that to chance? Because I promise you, the way that you feel when you bring your baby into the world will stay with you forever. That being a positive and empowering experience is the single most important thing you can ever plan for. And I know that sounds maybe dramatic to some people listening because we've really normalized birth, which is great. We don't want people to feel like they are unwell or they're weaker during pregnancy and birth. But it really makes a massive difference to who you are as a woman, as a human being for the rest of your life. So please do not leave it to chance. Don't think, oh, there's no point investing in this because I can't control it, because there's so much you can control. And what you can be in control of is ultimately having a positive and empowering experience. And, you know, that to me is the mission. That's why the podcast began. That's what I aim to achieve for every member that I work with on my online Your Pregnancy and Postnatal Journey course, because it makes a difference. It's so important, so important. So I hope that was a helpful episode. It's lovely to come on and chat with you solo. But I'll be back next week with another expert guest joining me. So I hope you have enjoyed this episode of the podcast. Before I head off, I need to tell you something. 68% of you who listen to my show have not hit the subscribe button. So can you do me a favor? And if you've ever enjoyed listening, hit subscribe now. It makes a huge difference, helping me to keep bringing you episodes. And together, we can then reach and empower more women on this journey. If you are a pregnant or newly postpartum listener and are looking to have the healthiest, most positive and informed journey, then my exclusive Your Pregnancy and Your Postnatal Journey courses may be for you. I work with a select number of women in a bespoke way, with unlimited access to me and my expert team, for the most transformative level of support at this important time in your life. We only get one shot at getting this time right. So to get in touch and find out more, head to midwifepip.com.
Hi, my name is Kay Adams, and to be honest, I'm not so good with the aging process, so I enlisted my old chum, the filter-free Cara McKenzie, to advise.
Could you imagine being a porn star? The room would need to be really hot for me to strip off.
To be honest, she's not much help, but she is rather amusing. And along with some great guests, Joe Brand, Andy Oliver, Anton Dubek, Ruth Langsford, and Craig Revel-Horwood, darling, we are learning how to be 60. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.